Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome back to our watch club for Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3. Are you here to kill me? Tempting, but no. Welcome back to Watch Club. My name is CTO831, but you can call me Hugs. And this is our Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 12. If you're joining us for the first time, this is Watch Club, our weekly review series, kind of like a book club, but way better. Keep in mind, we will be going into full spoilers for this series and Star Wars in general, so if you haven't watched this week's episode yet, be sure to do so, and then come right back in less than 12 parsecs. Now, before we all hop, on a tank with too many wheels, let me introduce you to our experimental crew of ragtag trooper again this week. Our other troopers, they must have fallen off the back of the tank. I don't know what happened, but he's dropping down from way up high. He's the dopest, dankest dude on Dagobah. He's CT-1006, but you can call him Joints.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy, you big old batch. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Ready to talk about some more Bad Batch as we're nearing the end here. We're getting really close to the end of the Bad Batch.
Bad Batch, yeah.
As we know it. I mentioned that tank a few times already. What's the biggest car you've ever been in? Have you been in like a limo?
When we went to my uncle's wedding, me and my cousins and our moms and dads, of course, we took a Lincoln limo down, so it was like an SUV limo. So,
whoa.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest one I've been in. And we also did that a while ago for something else, also with my cousins. There's a lot of us, Hudson/Wilkins, so we fill out a big car.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You need a big car to fit everyone in at the same time. But, for me, I think, limo. I don't think I've been in a limo like that, but I've always thought about monster trucks. You've seen a monster truck?
I have seen a monster truck. The closest I've come to it is my buddy had a big old lift kit on one of his trucks when we were shortly after we graduated high school, and we used to drive around in that, just towering over everybody else.
Sounds pretty dope. I mean, I think the thing with monster trucks, because it's like, yeah, they're intimidating, but I feel like they'd also be really safe. Like, they're designed to roll, right? Like, they're...
Yeah, they got those roll cages built in. Like, they are designed to take a hit. I'm not sure how comfortable they would be, though, because, again, you're sacrificing comfort for durability and rigidity and stuff like that. Also, they don't have functioning doors. You climb up underneath to get into those things, man.
Get me a limo monster truck. That's what I want. Just a combination of the both. I think that would be...
Well, I think the show delivered you that,
That's true. You're kind of right. We'll talk more about that limo monster truck. But listen, before Emery finishes our blood sample testing, let's get to this week's episode. We start this week, back on Mount Tantus, with some fantastic eerie music, where we see Hemlock waiting for Omega. He takes her to Emery and demands that she immediately test Omega to confirm that her blood is in fact the key to Project Necromancer. Omega attempts to get through to Dr. Carr, but she continues her test, saying, "For what it's worth, I'm glad you're safe." To which Omega responds with, "Am I?" So again, we're seeing Emery starting to crack here, and Justin and I kind of spoke on this last week. Darcy, what did you think of this encounter with between her and Omega here?
Too little too late, I feel like. Again, it takes her seeing those kids that Nala Say had seen locked up to all of a sudden have this compassion. It's like it was already there. Now she's wavering even more. It's this episode feels like it's kind of like we've already seen almost everything that they kind of explore in it. And that's why I kind of was a bit let down by the episode overall. But this interaction, again, just with him explaining why she's so important, it's like we got that last episode. And that reveal was so much more deserved and fit so much better in that one. And this one's just like, okay, now she knows what we know, but I don't know if that was necessary for us to see.
Right. Even maybe a bit more of a reaction from Omega would have been nice to kind of
have to finally get the answer of why she's so important. And she's like, "Oh, okay, what's that mean?" And it's like she doesn't understand. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And again, I'm sure we'll see Emery turn to the, you know, help out Omega again, but I don't, again, feels too little too late.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, she definitely, Emery feels a bond with Omega. I think even before, you know, kind of seeing those kids, well, she might not have felt as much regret. You know, she did say, like, think of me as a sister, right? Because they technically
are. Clones right? are a family. They call each other brothers and stuff like that. It makes sense.
So, yeah. So I think we are definitely, you know, we're definitely getting the cracks here. You know, Omega says a line to Emery, you know, which is exactly what she said to Crosshair. You don't have to do this. And yeah, I think just like it worked on Crosshair, it's going to work on Emery here. I think Emery is going to eventually be, I think, the downfall of Tantus. Like, I think she's going to be the last little, you know, the kind of the catalyst, I guess, to Tantus probably, I would say, getting destroyed. Do you think she survives this season, Darcy?
I don't know. Again, the fact that we see the remnants of Project Necromancer or the next stage or whatever in Mandalorian leads me to that someone is getting out of this facility, and I'd love it to be Hemlock, because he, again, is one of the greatest Star Wars villains we've gotten in a while. He's up there with Thrawn in terms of how menacing and scary he is. So to see him escape would be cool. But Emery, again, seeing that she's going to... She seems like she wants to save Omega and these kids by extension now. She's feeling that regret. I wouldn't be surprised if she makes the ultimate sacrifice to maybe even save Nala Se and get her and the kids out type thing.
Yeah. I could almost see, like, that would be her intention, and then Omega, you know, kind of is like, well, I've got bigger plans, and then it's all the clones need to, you know, all the clones
escape.
Need to be saved,
so,
right? Because that's
Emery
very...
and all her sisters there too. Because we haven't even gotten no other clones other than Emery have spoken, which I think is really weird. Like, we're really focusing on her.
Yeah,
and it's like, but what about all the other sisters at Tantus? Where do they sit and stand in all this, you know, necromancer shit?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to sort of see the other ladies that we see other scientists and assistants that are working there. We sort of see, like, their silhouette at the end of this episode. I wanted to mention the music again this week, the kind of, like, the bwomp sound that we're getting. It's like the theme of Hemlock.
Oh yeah, every episode has solid music, even if it isn't the most, you know, exciting or groundbreaking. The soundtrack still sets the tone so well and manages to get you hooked, even on these scenes that are like, well, I've already been here, but this music is still really enjoyable and it's hitting so much harder. This new rendition of Hemlock's theme, and just again how they that those bwomps, as you put it, those bwomps.
The bwomps, man. And I think too, like, that's a really good point. It's like, no matter at this point from a maturity level, you know, I would hope that we would get episodes that are able to show us something new. I have a theory behind why this episode really didn't work, or at least why it didn't work for me, which I will talk about before we wrap this. But no, I think no matter what, though, the music, the animation, the lighting, that has never wavered, even though the story may have a little bit this episode.
The look and feel never takes a hit.
Exactly, yeah. Back on Pabu, we rejoin our Batch Bros, as I like to call them, as Hunter and Batcher meet with Crosshair and Wrecker to discuss what's next, given that they have no ship and no leads to find Omega. Crosshair reluctantly mentions that he does have a last resort solution, someone they all know who would know how to get to Tantus, Admiral Rampart. Crosshair mentions that when they decommissioned Topoka City, Rampart sent Nala Se to Tantus. They're interrupted by AZ and Fee, and she joins their mission, letting them use her ship to travel to an Imperial labor camp on Erebus. So what did you think of, cause, you know, kind of slowing down a little bit here, Hunter and Wrecker's reaction to Crosshair letting Omega get captured?
I mean... they're not surprised. It's weird. I feel like there should have been more of a reaction there.
100%.
The fact that we don't get that, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like shouldn't that have been last episode? Because we're picking up on this episode. It seems like it's already happened, and they're like, okay, now what? What do we do next? Type thing. And it's very odd that we don't see more emotion. They spent so much time trying to get her back, and she's gone again. And they're like, okay, but how do we get to Tantus now? And it's like,
they're kind of in a kind of like an auto, like a go mode. Like they kind of are on autopilot. And you're absolutely right. Like, and that's why I asked you the question, because I'm like, I kind of wanted more. I kind of wanted a little bit more of a heated situation. But at the same time, the only way that I can sort of think about it is, you know, I think Wrecker, he does say, like, I can't believe, you know, to Crosshair, I can't believe you would let her turn herself in. But I did really like that line, that snapback that Crosshair does have, where he says, the Empire would have destroyed this whole town. She stopped them. And I liked that. I think that was a really sort of clear indication to Wrecker and Hunter to sort of recognize just how much Crosshair does know Omega. And I think that's where the trust kind of is able to be repaired. I think from a standpoint of just wanting a little more out of this episode, I would have liked to have had
more around reaction. That.
Right?
Yeah. I like the way you put that, though. Like the fact that it shows how much Crosshair knows Omega, and that's what it takes to kind of get Hunter and Wrecker on board. Because it's like, oh, when you put it like that, she would want that, and this is her choice type thing. Okay, now we just got to go save her. The mess she's gotten herself into again, it's up to her big brothers to go, little brothers to go and save her again.
Yes. Yeah, they are technically younger. And then I also want to just mention Crosshair's hand trembling. Anytime Tantus is brought up, it's got to be a psychological trigger for him. Mm-hmm. I think kind of paying attention to the testing in this episode, paying attention to what hand is actually getting stabbed with the needle over and over and over and over again, and it would be that hand for him. So there's clearly something in relation to the trauma that he experienced while having his blood taken that would cause that to sort of happen.
Well, I think it was also some of the conditioning they were trying to do on him, because it was more than just taking blood. It was putting him in that whole rig and basically shocking him into following orders. So I think it's deeper than just having to give blood samples. But yeah, it's, again, seeing him deal with this is going to be one of the more interesting parts of the closing of this finale, to see him hopefully, you know, overcome the fear he has of returning to the place to make that final shot that saves the day type thing. So again, I'm fully on board for his journey back to Tantus.
Well, and I think it's funny because he's so reluctant, you know, because he never wanted to go back to Tantus. And now he's kind of being forced to go back to Tantus. Whereas Omega, and we talked about this last week, that was always her goal. The moment they get back, the moment they crash land, her and Crosshair, you know, before they meet that gross gambling Imperial guy, you know, she was like, we have to go back and save everyone. So she's had this plan in her mind the entire time. And what happened in last week's episode just opened up the opportunity for her to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I also, you know, I think the other thing that's kind of interesting is they haven't really focused on his hand shaking as much in the past few episodes. But why is that? I think just as much as this episode could have benefited from having more Omega, I think the Bad Batch themselves, and specifically Crosshair, really need her to kind of keep growing, you know, as a character, you know, in the heart, in the soul, more than anything. And I think there's just as much as there's a mental trauma that Crosshair has from Tantus, there's something about Omega and her being there that maybe, because that's missing, he instantly goes back to having the shakes.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one who taught them that there's more to life than being a soldier. Mm. And again, without her there, you can easily see how much that's going to affect them and why they won't be able to move forward until they get her back. And it just shows how much Omega and Crosshair have come to form a relationship over their trials and tribulations that they've been on, and they've grown just as much as Omega and the rest of the Bad Batch have grown together. So it's really cool to see again the Bad Batch coming together on this mission to save their sister, and it's nice. It's very poetic.
Yeah,
very Star Wars.
Again, I think, like you said, like we've we've kind of seen all this before, and I you know, you even hear it when we're talking about, like, I'm referencing more last week's episode than I am this week's episode at times. But I think at the end of the day, no matter what, overall, these characters are just so strong. So it's nice that we can still sort of pull that from an episode that really is more of a setup and a set piece, mm-hmm. Of an episode. And we'll get to that set piece in a moment. But let's keep going here. On Erebus, we see Rampart is arguing with an Ugnaught in some pretty terrible working conditions. And on approach to sneak past the Empire, Fee does something actually pretty cool. Like, I honestly, like, Fee, to me, I'm like, she's okay as a character, but I thought what she did here was actually pretty dope.
Yeah, this is the coolest Fee has ever been. Yes. They never give her much to work with, and it, like, again, I agree where most of her episodes tend to be the ones that I like less, and it's no fault of her. It's just they're the most kiddie adventure of the week. But this entry where she even had the Batch kind of like, what are you doing? What's going on? Yeah. Here type thing. That was cool. Like, she is a bona fide badass in that scene alone. So I can that made me like the character a bit more than I understand where she could go a bit more in the future potentially.
Yeah. And we even see, like, as they're falling down, you know, out of the, you know, they're kind of going in free fall, and we see the helmet sort of floating up. Not the first floating helmet we've seen, due to some editing errors or some animation errors. If you look back at episodes 6 and 7, which we didn't notice during our watch club, but there's I think it was 7 or 6, I can't quite remember, you'll be able to look it up, but there are some just helmets floating randomly. But let's keep going here. So Fee cuts her engines, and they swoop down and drop off the Batch. They notice Rampart is about to be transported back to the prison now that his shift is over, and they devise a plan to extract him from the tank transporting the prisoners. They board the tank, take out the troopers using Plan 55, which Wrecker doesn't remember and then does remember, and Crosshair is immediately recognized by Rampart. They pull over. They let the other prisoners go, but keeping Rampart is enough of an indication to him that the Batch need him for something. They strike a deal that if they can get him off planet, he'll tell them how to get to Tantus. Darcy, Rampart is back. What did you think of his... Were you expecting Rampart? Were you expecting to see this guy ever again?
I mean, I wasn't expecting to see him again, and I was kind of happy about that because he is one of the weaker villains. Again, comparing him to something like Hemlock or Thrawn, he's just... He seems like a Thrawn wannabe, in my opinion. He thinks he knows what's going on and is making all these master moves, but he's in jail. So I don't know. This whole mission thing is just like, again, it's just a means to an end, and there's nothing new coming from it. And again, he could be any other Imperial person they've come across in the past, and it would have the same impact, in my opinion. So yeah, nothing. Nothing too... I'm not too crazy about his return, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that that there's more to it than that, right? Obviously, you know, we're going to get to see him in the next episode, but I hope there is some specific reason that we've got Rampart. I'm wondering if maybe, like, I don't know. The thing is about him is, like, he doesn't seem like he's on a trajectory for redemption.
No.
He still calls...
He's Imperial through and through. Yeah, so.
He still calls Crosshair 9904. Like, he still refers to him as a number. He's not willing to communicate with an Ugnaught. Like, you'd think, like, some time in prison would humble the guy. But
Not at all. He is still the prick that we left him when he was getting arrested, basically. So, that's one of the reasons why I'm not excited about him, because there is no hope for redemption. We're not going to get a cool Callus story or anything like that. Like,
and that's the thing. They give him the Callus, like, treatment with the hair and the beard and everything.
Yeah,
and...
exactly. That's immediately what I went to when we first see him again. And it's like, oh, maybe, never mind. Hold on. As soon as he opened his mouth, I'm like, oh, it's same old Rampart.
He's
great.
He's just a jerk. He's just a jerk. And I like the line, you know, the exchange between him and Crosshair in this moment when Rampart's like, are you here to kill me? And Crosshair says, tempting, but no. And I'm wondering if that might be foreshadowing. Like, I'm wondering if, like, we might get, like, a really dope moment where Crosshair's like, now I'm going to kill you.
Like, yeah, shoot, like, as you soon know as they get what they need or whatever.
Something
and, like,
crazy.
He's off,
like, this is what you get for, destroying our home.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he's back. Maybe it is sort of like a.
I hope so. You know, I hope that's where we go, because that would be very satisfying to see.
A better payoff than just he's gone to prison. So let's keep going here. This is where we kind of get to the set piece that I referred to earlier, the action of the episode. The Empire now figures out by now that the Batch, they've stolen a tank, and they send out another tank to kind of take them on. And the Batch push the tank up to full speed across the bridge. They take out the wheels of the other one, and it becomes a ramp. Not a rampart, but a ramp that they use to get over to the other side. After smashing through the armored gate, they speed out onto a rocky cliff. While traversing the terrifying height, gunships swoop in to drop off more troopers, which the Batch manage to dispatch until they lose control of the tank. And in a last minute, you know, last second moment, Fee arrives magically, and they manage to throw Rampart onto the ship and escape. Back on Fee's ship, Rampart explains that no one knows the coordinates to Tantus, but he knows a way to get around that, and that, you know, as long as he and the Batch are in this together, they can keep, you know, they'll figure it out or whatever. So what did you think of this this set piece, this moment on the bridge? And do you really think the Batch can trust Rampart?
Well, I gotta say, it's very convenient that when they go to, you know, see this guy, he's not in a cell in the middle of this high security facility. He's on his way back from a work detail out away from the base. It's perfect, just like, timing. Oh, perfect timing.
Yeah.
That being said, Star Wars knows how to do a good, like, train or chase sequence on a large vehicle where it's just...
We've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it multiple times, and every time I'm like, oh, this again? And by the end of it, I'm like, oh, right, that was fun. I get it. I enjoyed that entire moment. Because, again, you get a lot of cool, just cool deaths. You get your Wilhelm screams, some of those first-generation troopers just falling like flies like you want them to, basically. So it was very fun action, again, up until that magical Fee saving the day in the nick of time, because it looked like the road did turn right there. I guess it was just too sharp for them to turn. Like,
yeah, it's funny too, because this is we saw this scene or a moment of this scene not only in the first trailer they released publicly, but even back at Star Wars Celebration, we saw this moment. And of course, we didn't see Rampart. We even do see them on the ramp that's off of Fee's ship, standing there. And it's funny because when you watch this episode, I watched this episode back and I was like, they throw him. They must have thrown him so far that he's all the way off. Like, you won't. That's how they were able to show that sequence in the trailer without anyone knowing about Rampart coming back. But, you know, I was trying to remember the first time we saw these tank vehicles. I did a bit of digging for our deep cut geeks out there. The HAVWA6 Juggernaut rolls right off the tongue. It's the first time we ever saw this vehicle was actually in Revenge of the Sith on the beach, and the clone troopers are rocking in. They're fighting off the Wookiees on Kashyyyk.
I would have said something like Mandalorian. I feel like that was Bill Burr's episode. Does that also feature the Juggernaut?
There
or
was a
similar
vehicle. It's interesting because both the Star Wars fandom website and Wikipedia don't mention the Mando vehicle. I know that the Mando vehicle was also referred to. I believe they showed there was like a toy from the old Kenner line that was the Mando vehicle. So I'm wondering if maybe they're different enough. I don't know.
Different but the same type thing.
Right. And but this is the thing too. Like, it was a very fun sequence. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, I even wrote down, like, when they shoot those missiles, I was like, holy crap. Like, that was cool. But, you know, to them fighting on top of it, you literally, you know, we saw it in Mando. Like, we've seen it. We've seen these things before. But I will say it is funny because I never can tell when the Batch are looking to just stun troopers and when they're willing to crush them against a freaking mountain. Like, what I just don't understand the choices for them. I guess it's like, if they're clones, like if they're true clones, we stun them, and if not, it's whatever.
Yeah, I also think it's more like, if we can get in without killing anyone, we'll do that. Try and kill anyone until it's the point where if we don't kill them, we'll be killed ourselves.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it was, because it seemed like it was only after that escape moment, basically, when they started getting shot out, where they're like, okay, everyone's got to die because if they get in here, they're going to kill us because that's just what the Empire
that's
does. So,
but that guy that gets crushed, I was like, oh.
Oh yeah,
I'm sorry,
like you feel so proud because he caught himself, but then again, they pan up and you see that rock face coming. It was very Indiana Jones.
very Indiana Jones. Oh gosh. All right, let's get to the final part of this episode already. Lastly, back on Tantus, we see Emery finalizing her tests on Omega, and it's the exact result that they were looking for. She looks back at Omega with a sad look as Hemlock arrives and gives him the news. And he takes Omega down to the vault past multiple levels of security while explaining why she's so vital to them and to the Empire, how her blood is needed in order to directly replicate an individual's M count. And she asks who the other kids are, and Hemlock simply says, they are the rest of the puzzle, and this is your new home. So that brings us to our what's going to happen batch. Before we get to our final thoughts and score, Darcy, how do you think Omega's going to get along with these other kids in the vault? What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I think she's going to get along swimmingly. We've already talked about how her empathy is her strongest power.
Yeah.
And the fact that these kids are also force sensitive and she has such an admiration, as you've seen, for the idea of being force sensitive.
Mm.
I think there's immediately going to be a connection there. I wouldn't be surprised if she see her, showing them how to meditate or, you know, try and get away from this.
Gunji taught me this.
you can easily see that type of thing happening.
Yeah.
And I hope that things end well for all the kids there, that she can get them out along with the clones, because I feel like that final scene where the door slams shut is almost like the confirmation, like, this is the final, like, mission now.
Yeah.
Because getting her out is going to be the hardest thing they've done to this point. Like, all the security she goes through, this is not your average prison. It's the deepest part of this secret lab.
True.
So it's going to be a thrilling escape, I think. We're going to see some people fall, and that's almost a positive or a definite at this point.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think because, you know, we're wrapping up this story, at least within the Star Wars universe, you're not wrong. Like, there's some characters are going to make it, some characters aren't. I think our batch is going to be okay. Before I get to the tech of it all, I do want to just say, like, yeah, I think you're right. I think Omega is going to help these kids to see their true potential. You know, we often go through season 2 and season 3 and we're referencing, like, oh, look what she learned from X member of the Bad Batch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is going to be another sort of moment for her to kind of show off all those skills, but specifically one that I don't think she actually has gotten a chance to really show off, and that's what she would learn from Hunter, which is leadership. And I think this is going to kind of be her opportunity to flex that and kind of help these kids to kind of, you know, grow and learn and get to where they need to get to, at least within the next 3 episodes, which seems like too short of an amount of time to be able to do something like that. But I think between what they're doing, what Emery is probably going to end up doing, and then the batch rolling in, I think it's just going to get, these last 3 episodes are going to be a crazy escape plot, if you will.
I love the idea of this being a chance for her to step into that leader role a bit more and kind of pull the reins together and get everybody out with the most positive outcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that is the case. One thing that I want to quickly mention before we get to our final thoughts and score for this episode, though, is the tech of it all. I'm kind of, you know, and Justin and I have gotten to discuss this, and I wanted to kind of talk to you about it as we're getting to these final episodes. And it's just the idea that, like, I kind of hope tech is dead. Like,
yeah,
at this point,
I 100% agree. At this point, if it was gonna come back, there should have been more lead up to it. These 3 episodes are not enough for the mask coming off that one soldier to be like, oh my god, what are we gonna do now? It needed to be a more drawn out storyline. If that was the case,
mid-season kind of thing, right?
I 100%. He needs to stay dead at this point.
Yeah.
Even in this episode, what I think is great, both, you know, Crosshair calling out the plan. It was always Tech you seemed to bring it up in the first place, and that brought me back to. But even before that, when they're trying to get into the prison, and it's like, we can get in through the terminal. It's like you can almost picture Tech driving these facts into these guys, because like, you know, he was so pragmatic. He's like, I might not always be around to be your tech guy. And so you can seeing everyone pick up these like the pieces and like not even miss a step, almost, even though they don't have their tech guy, they still know how to hack into things or get the information they need from these terminals. So it, at this point, I hope he stays dead, because so they can continue to honor him in that way, where like his training did, they still remember him and everything they do with these missions and tech and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think there is going to be a reveal about that assassin trooper that is going to be something related to maybe not just tech, but, you know, Justin and I were talking about the idea that he could also be, you know, maybe more of a Crosshair clone, or potentially a clone of all of our Bad Batch members. Maybe there is something there. Maybe he is a precursor to whatever Hemlock is actually working on. And this is sort of an alpha build, if you will, to be able to bring over traits from other clones. And maybe that is kind of what we're seeing, because there's times where he talks like tech. There's times where he aims like Crosshair. So, you know, I could see maybe elements of that being brought back up. And I do think that there's going to be some happy reference to tech once more before the season wraps up. I think in the finale, there will be something tech related, something that tech did, something that tech instilled in or had set up ahead of time, or something that
the
is going to help
turn
save
is
the day.
Saves them all at
the tech
end of the
turn
day.
Bro,
yeah, like that would be such a cool callback. I totally agree, where it's again something tech instilled in all the Bad Batch, or even in Omega, because you saw that bond over the last season. So it'd be a really nice callback in that way. So I hope we do see something like that.
Yeah, I think that would be a better option at this point than he's
bringing
still alive.
Him back as a zombie type thing, and then like not going into it with the time that it deserves.
Yeah. But let's get to our final thoughts and score for this episode, which we're going to be rating on a scale out of 5, and you have to say this exactly right, so better have a good memory, out of 5 HAVWA6 juggernauts.
I'm not going to be able to say this, man. I mean, I think we've gone over it. This episode, nothing new happens. You've seen it all before in either this show or in other Star Wars stories, but it's still enjoyable, and it does set up, I guess, in a way, what's to come. I just feel like this could have been done at the beginning of the next episode or the beginning of this finale arc. Needless to say, I like Bad Batch. It's always fun seeing them do their thing, and the action set piece in this episode is what stands out the most, because it is that fun, you know, Bad Batch combat that we're used to seeing, and them executing a plan and just kind of flying by the pan of their, see their pants and managing to make it out all right with Fee at the end there. Again, nothing new. So that's what's bringing me down for this episode. Mm-hmm. I'll be giving this one 3 out of 5 HAVWA6 juggernauts.
Nailed it, bro. You nailed
Got
it.
Got it. Okay.
You nailed it.
I couldn't read my own writing there.
That's
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. This episode, I think, along with episode 8, which was the swamp one.
100%.
I think these are the weakest episodes of this season. And, you know, I think, hey, that's for a season, you know, with just as many episodes as the other ones, I think that's a pretty good ratio, that we've so far only had two that have sort of just kind of been like, not bad. Like, it wasn't something where I was like, oh, I really don't like what I'm seeing. It just, there's nothing new. It wasn't anything that got me
too
excited.
That's the only thing you can say about this episode. It's nothing new.
Nothing new. I mean, I enjoyed seeing Crosshair sass back with Rampart. Hopefully there's payoff for that. The bridge sequence, like we talked about. But I think, like, you know, kind of even thinking back to the more action or even set piece heavy episodes this season, the ones that where in Omega is more involved still have more character growth. And I think that was the big thing with this episode and even episode 8, right? Episode 8, we kind of get like 2 scenes with Omega. This episode, we get 2 scenes with Omega. And it's kind of interesting how it's kind of interesting as a fan to sort of see this character grow from, you know, at the beginning, kind of like how everyone felt about Ahsoka and Snips, grow from being this character that, like, you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, but she's kind of annoying. And I even probably said that in our watch clubs early on. So to get to this point where I'm like, oh my gosh, these episodes that don't have Omega are the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really interesting. I don't think that that's necessarily by design. It just kind of goes to show that, like, realistically, the Bad Batch, they're the only way they can grow and the only way they can really learn lessons. Mostly, again, there's some instances where they're able to do it on their own, but really they do need Omega just as much as we do.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, let's,
your score.
I totally forgot, dude. Listen, I got thrown into the back of Fee's ship so hard I hit my head. Yeah, I'm going to give this 3 out of 5 HAVW A6 juggernauts. It did what it needed to do, I guess, in terms of setting up what's to come. But I think for me, the only thing that's more worrisome is not so much that we've got a 3 out of 5 episode, because again, this whole season to only have 2 3 out of 5 so far, and the rest be at least 4s, 4.5s, 5s, it's a little worrisome, more so just how close we are to the ending that we're kind of in this state of, was this necessary?
Yeah, I'm worried that we're gonna not have enough time to come to a satisfying end.
Yeah.
with only 3 episodes left.
And the thing is like, again, it might not be a satisfying end overall. They you know, who knows? This is the last season of The Bad Batch, but is this the last time we're seeing
the Bad Batch
and this story or what have you, right? Lucasfilm Animation are so talented. They could find ways to continue going. And I mean, Star Wars will obviously continue going. There will be more stories to kind of fill in those gaps like they always do, for both wonderful, marketing capitalism, like, but also for some incredible storytelling. So I hope that we get to focus on Tantiss in the next few episodes. We get a better conclusion than what I imagine they can give us in 3 episodes, but we will have to see. That is it for this week's Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to podcasts, if you haven't already. And if you want to write into the show with your thoughts or predictions on the shows we cover in Watch Club, well, you don't have to jump off the back of a moving tank while driving up a steep cliff. Instead, Darcy, can you let the big, beautiful batches know how to reach us by holomessage?
Of course. They can reach out to us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Wow, I'm having a hard time speaking tonight.
Geekcentric@gmail.com.
Yeah. But if that's too much, like, fumbling your words and you're trying to help spread the message,
a tank up a hill.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's hard to do, it seems. They can reach us on Instagram @WeAreGeekCentric or on Twitter or X @GeekCentricYT.
And feel free to join our Discord using the link in our description. We can keep the conversation going on about this show or shows like X-Men 97, which, I mean, come on. Episode 5. As well as Fallout. We can talk about Fallout. I've opened a channel there for that, as well as Invincible, which has just wrapped its part 2 of season 2. Keep in mind, we also have a ton of other great episodes covering the latest in movies, TV shows, including our recent spoiler-free reviews for Prime Video's Fallout, Alex Garland's Civil War, Monkey Man, Three Body Problem, X-Men 97, Invincible Season 2 Part 2, and Dune Part 2. We also have some great interviews out now, like our most recent interview with executive producer of the Apple original series, Suga. I'm saying Suga because of X-Men. Simon Kinberg. Justin sat down with him to discuss the series, Suga, and how it pays homage to classic film noir genre while giving audiences something fresh. And speaking of X-Men, Simon is a self-proclaimed geek, and Justin asks him some geeky questions related to X-Men, and he talks about what he'd like to see next for the mutants. So go check out that interview and all of our interviews, both here on your podcast service of choice or over on YouTube at youtube.com/geekcentric. Subscribe, leave a review. It helps us so much, and we'll have even more Watch Club coming soon, with episode 13 dropping shortly after episode 13 of the show drops on Disney Plus next week. Darcy, thank you so much for joining me for this Watch Club. And as we say,
good soldiers follow orders.